Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. Good Lundi Gras morning. John Osterlund here with you in what has been one of the craziest Mardi Gras in New Orleans history, without a doubt, as not only a second rider was run over by a Mardi Gras float, this time not a rider, but a second person, a second reveler, was run over by a Mardi Gras float, this time Saturday night, the Endymion Parade, leading our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTax de Cantrell, to say no more tandem floats for the remainder of Mardi Gras 2020. She was wrong doing that. We'll explain why coming up. But there were two Toth Parade riders yesterday, and they were riders yesterday, who fell off the Toth float. Yeah, I went to the Toth Parade yesterday, and I caught me some beads. I got a couple of cups and a man. We'll talk more about that. And some people fell off a second-story balcony on St. Charles Avenue last night, Sunday night. And on Saturday, there was garbage in a truck that caught on fire after Endymion. And I'm telling you, those two dead bodies that are on Canal Street in the rubble of the collapsed Hard Rock Hotel, and those two dead bodies that have been there for over 4 months now, in my opinion, they have something to do with all of this bad stuff that's been happening at this Mardi Gras. There's some bad juju going on the streets of New Orleans. We're going to get to all of that coming up. Bernie Sanders won big again Saturday night, this time in the Nevada caucus, on to South Carolina next. And then they're going to have Super Tuesday. But it's looking like Bernie Sanders, the communist, well, I know he says he's a democratic socialist. And it's funny how he says democratic socialist. Do you really have to say democratic socialist? Are there many Republican socialists out there? But the socialist Bernie Sanders, it looks like right now he's going to be the one to battle Donald Trump for to be president this coming November. And obviously many Republicans are freaking out, because here's a guy now who's one vote away that believes communism and socialism is better than capitalism. There's no doubt about that. That's what he believes. There are even a bunch of Democrats. Look, hey, 4 years ago, there were many Democrats that were freaking out about Bernie Sanders, and they rigged their own Democratic primary to have Hillary Clinton be the one who represented the Democratic Party against Donald Trump. But if they did it honestly and legitimately 4 years ago, it would have been Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly.
There were 4 years ago, there were Democrats that are freaking out about Bernie Sanders. They were freaking out. Now there are Democrats absolutely freaking out about Bernie Sanders. Chris Matthews on MSNBC being one of them, and he said something Saturday night that had everybody wondering, what did you just say?
I was reading last night, Brian, I know you're a history guy too. I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940, and the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart, and I think he's damn right on this one. Joy.
Back to you, Julie.
Yeah. So Bernie Sanders winning here in Nevada is like when Hitler took over France. Back to you, Joy. And James Carville agrees.
I apologize to the Jews.
The New Orleanian James Carville is he obviously a Democrat. He's freaking out. There are Democrats who are freaking out. They're like, this is our answer to Donald Trump, a communist.
It's not even that. It's that they're watching their party run away from them. The moderate Democrats are watching their party leave them.
Much like the Republicans 4 years ago watched their party run away from them with Donald Trump.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Same thing happened 4 years ago. But this is the best answer to Trump, a communist.
I mean, all right, so Trump is the epitome of free market capitalism.
Yes.
He's the success of it. And so now you have to have the exact antithesis to that to battle Donald Trump. It's going to be an election based on ideology. This is it. This is the main event, capitalism or socialism. They're about to go head on.
But what Bernie Sanders would tell you about Trump when he was a businessman and making billions of dollars, Trump used every tax loophole in this country legally to save hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes. Bernie Sanders wants that to happen to the common everyday American like you and me, not to the rich people like Donald Trump. That's what he said.
How is it a loophole if it's legal?
Yeah.
Just because you have, all right, so there are laws that's written on the books. If you take advantage of that, how is that a loophole? That's just following the laws that's available. It's just that Trump had the insight to use those laws to his advantage. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's something how so many young people love Bernie Sanders because they just love what he's saying. Everything's free. He'll pay off my college debt. Mm-hmm. I'll get free health care for the rest of my life. And we all know it's not free. Somebody has to pay for that stuff. And the people that have to pay for that stuff, if you're up right now early on Monday morning, early on Lundi Gras Monday morning, like me and Coleman, we're the ones who are going to be paying for that because we get up every day and we go to work. And then tax dollars come out of our taxes. You know only about half of Americans pay federal income tax. And not all of the ones that go to work every day pay federal income tax. Look at the mayor of New Orleans, Letaxta Cantrell. She hasn't paid federal income tax in 8 out of the last 9 years. And the only year she paid federal income tax is when she was running for mayor because she knew she had to.
I just figured out why Bernie Sanders uses the word democratic socialist. He doesn't want people to get confused with national socialists.
Aha.
See? Because that separates him from the other national socialists that they had in history back in the 40s. But they're both socialists. Just one's a national socialist, one's a democratic socialist.
And doesn't national socialist, the first couple of letters in the end, Nazi?
It does sound familiar, doesn't it?
Doesn't it sound right? But it's incredible how the younger people love Bernie Sanders because they don't want to pay for anything. And if you're just getting out of college and you've never lived in the real world, all you have been is in college. You've never, had to pay taxes, mortgage, or rent, anything like that. It's college. You're just putting everything on the dole on credit until later. And someone comes around and says, hey, I'll get you off that hook. So, but Democrats are freaking out just as much as Republicans because they're like, this is our answer to Trump, a communist? I mean, he's pro-Fidel Castro. He says everything he did wasn't bad. Look what he did to Cuba. He ruined Cuba. You know how many people leave Cuba because everything they had was gone when they woke up one morning? Could you imagine waking up one morning and everything you worked for was gone? All the money you had in the bank, your business, your house, that's what happened to many, 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 many Cubans. And you got Bernie Sanders praising Castro because he gave him health care.
This is a result of that slippery slope argument that the Democrats had back in the 80s and 90s. You know, they're saying stuff like, yeah, free health care, this, and we'll take care of that. We'll forgive these loans. And now that slippery slope then went all the way down. Now Bernie Sanders is like, hey, free everything. We'll take care of you all the way. So they went a little bit too far. The younger generation got excited. Now they expect a nanny state. They want a nanny. They crave it.
Well, the Democrats are freaking out because the far left, the fringe, the many would call the wackos, the far left of the Democratic Party are the ones, Bernie Sanders, who's taken over. And boy, oh boy, isn't this something. Could you imagine Bernie Sanders against Donald Trump in November? Oh, my God.
I think it needs to happen. You have to have a socialist and a communist go head-to-head and spew out their ideas and see what type of country this really is.
You mean a socialist slash communist going against a capitalist?
Yes.
That's what I meant to say. All right. Coming up next on the show, we're going to get to the latest details on another crazy Mardi Gras weekend here in New Orleans where some bad stuff continues to happen. And if you believe in juju like I do, I'm telling you, those dead bodies laying above Canal Street for over 4 months, I don't know. I think there might be something going on there. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you on Lundy Gras morning here in New Orleans during a crazy Mardi Gras 2020. We had a second person die from being run over by a Mardi Gras float over the weekend. You know, we were enjoying Endymion at our favorite club in New Orleans, Vintage Rock Club. And the only reason we were there for Endymion is because the Endymion route was changed a little bit because they didn't want it to go right by the Hard Rock Hotel, the collapsed Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street, where there are two dead bodies still in there over 4 months now after its collapse. So they didn't want the Endymion parade. They don't want the Zulu parade to go right by there like it normally would. So they had it take a right, and then it went down, and then it turned on Poydras Street, and that's where Vintage Rock Club is. So and we're friends with those guys. And Vintage Rock Club is right on the corner of Canal and Rampart, where it made the turn there. And Vintage Rock Club is on the second floor above walk-ons. And so we were up there on the balcony just having a great time. And then all of a sudden, you know, on my cell phone, I get local news flashes. I hear boo on my cell phone. I look down, and it said someone was just run over and killed by a Mardi Gras float during the Endymion parade. I said, you got to be kidding me. Is this some kind of sick, demented joke? I mean, this just happened a couple of days ago at the Knicks parade coming in from Uptown. Now, during Endymion, coming in from Mid-City, someone else was run over by a Mardi Gras float, and it happened. You know, it's interesting. The woman who was run over during the Knicks parade, she was 58 years old. The man who was run over during the Endymion parade, he was 58 years old. And both of the floats that happened to run over these people, and again, the last time this happened was 2008 was the last time this happened, 12 years ago. This happened in 2008 during Endymion when the float was getting pulling into the Superdome. Someone was run over. And then it happened like 20 years before that. So it very rarely happens. So the fact that it happened two different times during one Mardi Gras season, well, and both of the floats were tandem floats, meaning they were two floats connected by a hitch. And we know during the Knicks parade, the woman tripped over the hitch. Why she was trying to run in between two floats like that is beyond me. And then something happened with this man on Saturday night on Canal and Galvez during the Endymion parade, and he was run over.
Want to hear something even stranger?
By a tandem float, and whether he tripped over the hitch or not, that's where we're still, he either tripped or someone pushed him. What?
Well, so Wednesday of the Knicks parade, that was my very first Knicks parade that I ever attended. Somebody died.
Coleman, you're born and raised here in New Orleans.
Yeah, but I don't do floats. I go to Bourbon Street. I don't do the parades. But that was my first Knicks parade.
Yeah, you're from the West Bank, so your Mardi Gras consists of going to Bourbon Street on Mardi Gras Day, on Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because you just want to see boobs.
Right. Okay. And then Endymion was my first parade as well. This is my that Wednesday was my first Knicks parade, and this Saturday was my first Endymion parade. So that's just weird that my first two Knicks and Endymions, this happens. I feel like it's sort of my fault in a weird way.
Nah, I have a feeling it would have happened if you didn't go anyways. I think there's some juju going on with those two dead bodies that have been sitting in that rubble pile on Canal Street for over 4 months now. I think there's, you call it whatever you want, Mojo, Gree, call it whatever you want to call it. There's some
bad karma.
There's some bad voodoo going on. Well, of course, when the second person died on Saturday night, and that ended the big, Endymion's the biggest parade of them all. That ended the Endymion parade after what, 13 floats? There was still a ton more floats. And how much does that suck? You know how much it cost those people to ride in that?
$2,000.
And they planned that all year long, and then it ended just like that, and before they got a chance to A, finish the parade, or B, go to the big Endymion ball, which is usually in the Superdome.
Yeah, the Endymion extravaganza.
But because the Superdome is getting some renovations right now, they had it in the convention center. By the way, Styx was one of the bands who played. They sounded fantastic. But anyways, it all ended after the 13th float. And then, just like on Wednesday night at the Knicks parade, when a woman was run over by the tandem float, right after this happened Saturday night, our tax cheat of a mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, showed up, and she laid down the law.
Good evening, but absolutely not a good evening. We have another fatality during a parade involving a float. The lead on this, which continues to be an investigation, is our superintendent of the New Orleans Police Department, Sean Ferguson. As you can see, that we're joined here by our public safety team, in addition to members of the New Orleans City Council. We have canceled the remainder of the Endymion Parade for this evening. Moving forward throughout the Mardi Gras season 2020, we're also eliminating the use of tandem floats moving forward.
There you go. You got to do something. And I think last Thursday morning on our show, you and I were talking about it, Coleman, and we said, watch, she's gonna ban tandem floats. It took one more death. And again, this kind of thing hardly ever happens. And so I think, and that made some of these massive parades had a scramble, like Bacchus, Orpheus. Mm-hmm. They had a scramble to go get more tractors and tractor drivers, because now the mayor overreacted by banning these killer tandem floats, the killer tandem floats, when she didn't look at it and wonder like I did, why in God's name are these two 58-year-old people trying to cross a street in between two floats that are connected by a hitch? How in God's name could that happen?
Well, any politician, they have to do this. They have to make it seem like they're doing something. They can't just get on the air and give their condolences and let things move on. They have to feel like, oh, and we have to intervene, and we're doing this to solve this problem for the next time. They have to feel like, even if it's just feel-good legislation, they have to intervene some kind of way, shape, or form to make the public feel like they're doing something.
And again, this is the mayor of New Orleans, who has not paid federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. The IRS is coming after her. They put liens on her property. The only year she paid federal income taxes in those 8 out of the last 9 years is the year she ran for mayor, because she knew she had to. So she's a tax cheat, a tax scofflaw, and anytime she opens her mouth, that's the only thing I can think of. And the fact it's on her watch, it's on her dime, that two dead bodies are hanging over Canal Street for over 4 months in the rubble that is the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel. More things happened. We're going to get to them coming up, including yesterday at Toth. Two of the Toth riders fell off their Mardi Gras floats. They're in stable condition now. And I went to Toth yesterday, and I did catch some beads. I caught some cups, and I caught a man. Stay tuned for that and some other crazy Mardi Gras bad voodoo that's been going on. We have two more days of this. Hopefully we can all make it without more people dying. It's a live and local, it's New Orleans live and local morning radio show. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. This has been a wild, some would say tragic, Mardi Gras 2020 here in New Orleans, as two people have died, been run over by Mardi Gras floats. First Wednesday night, Knicks parade, and then Saturday night, Endymion parade, and we're all having a good time at Vintage Rock Club, and I'm thinking, this is, you got to be kidding me. I mean, Mardi Gras parade floats go 1 or 2 miles an hour, right? How in God's name could anyone get run over? And then we realized after Wednesday night, the woman, for whatever reason, she was a 58-year-old woman, she tripped over the hatch that connected two floats, a tandem float. Whether she was running for Mardi Gras beads or who knows what she was doing, but she tripped over the hitch, and then the second Mardi Gras float in that tandem deal ran over her. There's nothing the driver could do. That was her fault. It wasn't Mardi Gras' fault. We don't need more barriers. We don't need anything banned, nothing like that. And then on Saturday night, a 58-year-old man during Endymion Parade was run over by a Mardi Gras float and killed. We know it was a tandem. We know that. Now I don't know if he tripped over the hitch and was run over by the second float. That's what I heard. They haven't given the exact details like they have with the Wednesday night tragedy. But as soon as Saturday night came around, and as soon as the second guy died, the second parade Mardi Gras reveler was run over by a Mardi Gras float, you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, what is going on? I mean, this just doesn't happen. Mardi Gras has been going on for over 100 years. This doesn't happen. And then it happened twice during this Mardi Gras. Then our challenged mayor, Letaxta Cantrell, showed up on Saturday night, and she had to do something.
Good evening, but absolutely not a good evening. We have another fatality during a parade involving a float. We have canceled the remainder of the Endymion Parade for this evening. Moving forward throughout the Mardi Gras season 2020, we're also eliminating the use of tandem floats moving forward.
And I think a complete overreaction. And that really messed up some of the bigger parades that are still yet to come. Parades, I know Bacchus yesterday had a scramble, Orpheus. There were other parades that had a scramble because they had tandem floats. But since Letaxta, and by the way, that's our mayor, every time she opens her mouth, I'm sorry, I have a tough time following what she's saying, because she's the sitting mayor of an American city who has not paid her federal income taxes for 8 out of the last 9 years. The only year she did pay them was the year she ran for mayor, because she knew she had to. There are tax liens placed on her property. She's a tax cheat, a tax scofflaw. So anytime she opens her mouth about anything else, that's all I'm thinking about. I have to pay my taxes every year. Why don't you?
We're all in this together, John.
We're not all in paying our taxes together, Coleman. And so she completely overreacted by banning tandem floats. But again, this is what government does. This is why I look at them funny, because she has to do something. So instead of saying, this is what she should have said. But this woman is completely over her head as mayor of New Orleans. Completely. She should have said, for the rest of Mardi Gras 2020, any tandem float needs to have a little bit of protection over the hitch. Just put a little piece of fences, put a little piece of wire, put a little piece of something over on each side of the hitch.
I wouldn't even have said that. I would have said, for the 2020 Mardi Gras season, everyone just be extra careful.
She could have done that too, Coleman. That's... But if she had to do something, because that's what government does, they have to do something when something like this happens. She could have said what you said, or she could have said, just put a little piece of fencing on each side of the hitch. It would have taken hardly any effort or money. But boy, by banning the tandem floats, those other parades, and we still have more today, tonight, and tomorrow, they have to scramble to now get more tractors and more drivers, and it made their lives tougher.
Yeah, well, Jay said last week the parade, he rides in, they put chains from connecting the first part of the tan to float
yeah.
to the other side.
Do something
of
like that.
But nobody makes them. They do it themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She could have made them. It would have been a quick and easy fix. But again, none of these fatalities were Mardi Gras' fault. These are these two people, unfortunately, who were doing things they weren't supposed to do. They were in places they weren't supposed to be. And it sucks and it's sad. But our mayor is completely over her head here. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you believe in voodoo. I don't know if you believe in stuff like that. But those two dead bodies that are still sitting on Canal Street in that pile of rubble from the partially built and partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel, there's some kind of spirit over this town, because this never happens.
Let's do the math. John, how many bodies are in a Hard Rock Hotel right now?
Two.
How many people died from a Mardi Gras tandem float?
Two.
How many floats are in a tandem float?
Two.
How many bodies fell off that Thought Parade?
Toth.
Toth Parade. How many?
Two.
And how many people fell off a balcony?
Two.
What I'd year is this?
2020.
Two twos in 2020.
Wow. Yeah.
Happened on February 20 something.
Two people fell off of a balcony on St. Charles Avenue.
But I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I was just doing the math in my head.
Well, now you got me freaking out, Coleman. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there.
Zeppelin! You the man! Me! You the man!
Dude, like, I've been meaning to ask you this. Every time we come out of a Led Zeppelin song, you do this weird...
That's my Robert Plant impersonation.
Where did you get that from, though? Like,
I've told the story before on the show.
I must have missed it.
When I was on the radio in Boston, we were friends with the band Extreme. You know, Nuno Bettencourt, great guitar player. They had Gary Cherone, who left that band as a singer, went into Van Halen for one album. It didn't work. But their drummer, this guy named Paul Geary, and he was having a Christmas party at his house one year. And he told a story about when Extreme played the Freddie Mercury tribute show at Wembley Stadium in London. And they were backstage, and Robert Plant was playing that show too. And Paul Geary told a story about how they were all backstage and Robert Plant was sitting on a couch by himself in front of a television. And Paul Geary wanted, the old drummer from Extreme, wanted to go up to him and say, oh my God, it's Robert Plant. I'm one of my idols. And right when he got close to him, there was no one around Robert Plant. He was all by himself watching television. When Paul Geary got right next to him to go introduce himself, Robert Plant out of nowhere said, and then he just kept watching the television. And then Paul Geary jumped back. And now Robert Plant does that in so many of the Led Zeppelin songs, and he even does it when he's watching TV by himself on a couch. So that's why when we play Led Zeppelin, it's the John Osterlin Morning Show. That's a true story. I want you to text us and tell us if you agree or disagree with the mayor, because I can't find anyone who can agree with our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTax de Cantrell, when she banned tandem floats for the rest of Mardi Gras 2020, because two people in two different Mardi Gras parades on two different days were run over and killed by a Mardi Gras float. The second float in a tandem float situation. And the tandem float, those are the floats that are connected by a hitch. And these people tripped over the hitch, and the second float ran over them because the driver has no idea what's going on. And sadly, you know, this was their fault. It was the people who died. It was their own fault that they died. It had nothing to do with Mardi Gras. It had nothing to do with lack of barricades or killer tandem floats. It had nothing to do with any of that. These people did themselves in by doing something they shouldn't have done, by acting in a way they shouldn't have acted, and by being someplace they shouldn't have been. And I feel awful for them and their families and their loved ones and their friends. It sucks. But my God, getting run over by a Mardi Gras float. My God. Imagine you get to the pearly gates and they ask you, well, what happened? Excuse me? You were run over by a Mardi Gras float? What do they go, 1 mile an hour?
Yeah, and then Pedro's, he's in heaven like, yeah, well, I went to the running of the bulls. That's why I got this gorge in my backside. But a Mardi Gras flow, dude?
Yeah, Coleman. So I think our mayor, well, by the way, I think she's completely over her head as being mayor of New Orleans. Completely over her head. And when she came out on Saturday night after the second person died and said we need to eliminate tandem floats for the rest of Mardi Gras 2020, that made other Mardi Gras parades like Bacchus, like Orpheus, like they got to scramble now and they got to rewire stuff. They have to hire or find more tractors and drivers, people to drive those tractors. They made one exception when it came to banning tandem floats. The tandem floats that have a generator that they use for their lights, they will still be allowed. Maybe because the generator is in the way and won't let people trip over the hatch that connects the floats.
Or maybe because they do have lighting at night, probably.
Maybe. Look, and I think our mayor, she was completely wrong here. If she wanted to do, but this is government, and this is why I always look at government funny. They overreact. What she should have said is one of two things. She should have said, well, if tandem floats are going to ride, the hitch has to be protected, either by a little piece of fencing, a little piece of wire, a little piece of whatever. Or she could have said, hey, people, don't be where you're not supposed to be. Don't try to cross a Mardi Gras parade route when there's a tandem float coming. You know, there's a hitch there that connects the two floats. But she didn't take either of those options. She said, we're banning all tandem floats. She overreacted. She's completely wrong. Again, if you disagree, let me know. I mean, you don't have to let me know if you agree with me, because I think most sane people agree with me.
Well, this text says, totally the people's fault. Not sure about the second person, whether it was his fault or not. Maybe he's gotten pushed, but again, clearly way too close to the float. Not Mardi Gras' fault. This guy says, disagree with her. Blaming the floats is like blaming guns when people get shot.
Well, that's right. It's like blaming the car when someone gets run over by a car and killed, or someone gets into a fatal car accident. Are we going to just rid the streets of all cars now? Of course not.
Half of the porta potties on the parade route don't have working latches on the doors. Maybe LaToya shouldn't have gone to the lowest bidder. Okay.
Yeah, hey, LaTax, though, why don't you, well, after you pay your taxes, again, this woman has not paid her federal income taxes. A sitting mayor of an American city has not paid her federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. The only year she paid them is the year she ran for mayor because she knew she had to. She does it on purpose. Her and her husband, who's a lawyer, they do it on purpose. They go out of their way not to pay their taxes. And now she's making all kinds of rules, and she can't even follow the rules herself. She can't even pay her federal income taxes like we do. She started talking Saturday night after the second Mardi Gras death of 2020, and I'm thinking to myself, pay your taxes!
A few more real quick. Redbird says it's easier to ban tandem floats than it is to make people smarter.
Oh, good point.
And Antoine says, I don't agree with the tax cheating, empty-headed, incompetent, progressive fraud of a mayor. But geez, Antoine, tell us how you really feel about her.
We appreciate your text, and we always welcome them. 504-260-9595. Keep them short and sweet, like you just heard. If you want, put your first name or your initials at the end of the text. If we think they're good and they add to our radio show, we will say them. Text us about this or anything we talk about. And I want to hear from you if you agree with our over-her-head tax cheat mayor. I want to hear if you agree with her and you think she did the right thing by banning the tandem floats. I think that was crazy. I think it was ridiculous. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Most people, when they get executed in America lately, they do it by getting the needles in the arm. But the other night, convicted killer Nicholas Sutton was executed in Tennessee by the electric chair, affectionately known there as Shaka Khan. Yeah, most people, he went old school. He said, you know what? Just fry me. You know, most people just take the needles that, put them to sleep and then kill them. All right, coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Happy Lundi Gras. Hopefully we can get through these last couple of days of Mardi Gras with no more fatalities. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
February 24th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1988. The Supreme Court defends the right to satirize public figures. They voted 8-0. Well, you don't see that very often. Wow. Where they all agree, the Supremes, to overturn the $200,000 settlement awarded to the Reverend Jerry Falwell for his emotional distress at being parodied in Hustler magazine, Larry Flint's pornographic magazine. Yeah, they made fun of him, and so he took it to court. It went all the way to the Supreme Court and said, hey, pal, hey, Jerry Falwell, you're a public figure. You are legally allowed to be publicly satirized.
I wonder how he found out about it. He's supposed to be all Christian and all.
It's a good question. I'm sure somebody told him about it. I bet you he wasn't the one that saw that on his own. February 24th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1976. The Eagles album, their greatest hits, 1971 to 1975, becomes the very first album in history to be certified platinum by the recording industry.
Cha-ching!
That platinum means it sold 1 million copies. I did not know that. Today in 1976, that Eagles' Greatest Hits number one album was the first album ever to be certified platinum.
Great.
And obviously since then, many more have. And that is one of the... It's either the second or third. It's been first. That's when people used to buy albums. The highest or second highest most selling album in the history of albums, that particular album.
Until Thriller came out.
Yeah, and that's up there too. February 24th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1992, the United States Postal Service unveiled two versions of its proposed Elvis Presley stamp for fans to vote on. They had the young, svelte Elvis, and then they had the older, bloated, drug-addicted Elvis. And it was the young, svelte, better-looking Elvis that ended up winning in that stamp battle of which Elvis stamps should be the official.
So it was body shaming.
Yeah, how about that, huh? February 24th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 2006. The Sex Pistols gave a virtual middle finger to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they issued an open letter on singer Johnny Rotten's website saying they have no intentions of attending the induction ceremony at New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel. He said, next to the Sex Pistols, rock and roll and that Hall of Fame is a piss stain. Your museum, urine and wine. We're not coming. Well, he always had a way with words, that Johnny Rotten. And that's our segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, more from this crazy Mardi Gras weekend here in New Orleans, where we had two people who lost their lives because they were run over by Mardi Gras floats. And this was not Mardi Gras' fault. Sadly, this was those people's fault. They shouldn't have been where they were. Why they were there and why they were doing what they were doing, we don't know. But then you got our mayor, the tax cheat, who's over her head in this job. She's now banning all tandem floats. And that made a lot of Mardi Gras parade float riders and organizers, they had a scramble to try to fix this. We'll explain more coming up. here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. And Zion Williamson did it again last night. What's he now, 12 or 13 games into his NBA career? The numbers he's putting up. Last night he had 28 points, and he's just about into game shape now. It was a disaster when in preseason he hurt his knee and he had to get surgery to fix a torn meniscus, and he missed a little more than half the season. During that time, the Pelicans lost 13 games in a row, and it was pretty rough sailing. But ever since he's come back, they're going to make the playoffs. They're just a couple of games out of the last spot now, but they've got the easiest schedule in the NBA for the rest of the way. And they will make the playoffs. Tomorrow night's going to be a tough one. They're going to play the team tomorrow night that they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. That's the best team in the NBA right now, or at least the best team in the West, the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the former Pelican. But last night, Zion was great. And the national media is so obsessed with him and focused. He is the main story of the NBA since he's come back. And after every game, they put up numbers. Like last night, he's only the second teenager in NBA history to score 20 points or more in a row in 10 games in a row.
He's on fire!
And the names that he's being put up with in the things he has done in his first dozen games in the NBA, they're names like Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, he's doing things that have only been done by those guys.
And I've only had one stat in common with Wilt Chamberlain, but it has nothing to do with basketball.
You didn't even come close.
I'm getting there, dude. I got some time on my hands.
How many women did Wilt Chamberlain say he was with? My own. But anyways, and it's not just Zion with the Pelicans. I mean, he's leading them, and he's incredible, and he's still getting better every game. I mean, even if you're just a casual sports fan, he's must-watch TV. With the Pelicans with him, they're must-watch. Because he's 6'6", he's still growing, but he's about as wide as he is tall, and they've never seen anybody his size, his girth, have the quick feet and the footwork that he has. I mean, he can shoot. He gets the ball. His jump, his second jump, his moves around the basket, they're absolutely incredible. And he is so much fun to watch play. And but it's not just him. They are getting fantastic play from Brandon Ingram, who they got in the Anthony Davis trade. He made the All-Star team this year. They're getting fantastic play from Lonzo Ball, one of the guys they got for Anthony Davis. They're getting great play from Josh Hart, a third guy who they got for Anthony Davis in that trade last year. And Drew Holiday is playing great. They're getting great play from Nico Melli. Last night he was 6-for-7 from three-point land. Boy, if you could shoot like that every night, forget about it. They are playing great. Their only problem is, in my opinion, their coach, Alvin Gentry. They don't play defense, and they still turn the ball over a little bit too much, but they're so young. I mean, outside of Drew Holiday, all those guys are young. I mean, young. Zion's 19. They're all, like, right around 21, 22. The future looks bright.
When you got a roster like that, what does a Gentry need to do other than give him a ball and say, all right, guys, go play?
That's pretty much what he does. but even like I said, even if you're kind of just like a casual basketball, Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans are must-watch television for all basketball fans because they have never seen a guy that size, that age, do what he is doing. And I mean, he's not even playing full games, and he's putting up these numbers. He's just about back in game shape. It took him a little while. I mean, the only thing that scares us watching Zion Williamson, because we've never seen a guy, an NBA player with a body like that, is if that body is going to be able to hold up for a long period of time. And the food is so good here in New Orleans, you've got to watch what that guy, that kid eats. You got to keep an eye on that kid eating. And so they play again tomorrow night in Los Angeles against the Lakers. And then after that game tomorrow night, the rest of their schedule, They got the easiest schedule in the NBA, only a couple of games out of the last playoff spot. They're going to get in this year. They're going to get the eighth spot. You heard it here first. They'll probably lose in the first round of the playoffs because they'll be playing LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers. But the future looks so bright. And I'm telling you, if they had a coach who even believed a little bit in defense – And the new guy that's here, the new guy who's in charge, David Griffin, he's the new general manager, executive vice president. He's made so many right moves up to this point. I can't stress it anymore. The future is so bright for the New Orleans Pelicans, and watch them when they're on. All right, coming up next, more of the fallout from our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTaxta Cantrell, her banning tandem floats for the remainder of Mardi Gras 2020. That was not the right move. We'll read some of your texts too, because I think most of you, I think you, if you're listening, agree with me. I'd like to hear from someone that agrees with her banning the tandem floats. These aren't killer floats. It wasn't the float's fault why two people ended up losing their lives so far this Mardi Gras season. And I'm telling you, I think those two dead bodies in the Hard Rock collapse, the Hard Rock Hotel collapse, I think some of that juju, some of that mojo, some of that gree-gree, whatever you want to call it, I think that some of that is kind of like a dark cloud over Mardi Gras this year. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. Happy Lundi Gras. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's been a pretty crazy Mardi Gras 2020. I mean, you can usually say that every Lundi Gras Monday, every Mardi Gras. But this year, it's a little bit more so because two people have died by being run over by Mardi Gras floats. As impossible as that sounds, how in God's name could people get run over by Mardi Gras floats? They go 1 or 2 miles an hour. But in both instances, they were 58 years old. One was a woman, one was a man, and they were run over by the second Mardi Gras float and a tandem Mardi Gras float. Those Mardi Gras floats are connected by a hitch, and the big parades have those because it saves. I'm sure it saves money. But when the second one happened, after the second one happened Saturday night, the first one happened Wednesday night during the Knicks parade coming downtown from Uptown. The second one happened Saturday night at the Endymion parade coming downtown from Mid-City. And I couldn't believe it. We were having a blast at Vintage Rock Club, Coleman. And of a sudden my phone goes bloop. And I look at it. I said, oh, my God. Not again. Somebody else got run over by a Mardi Gras float.
And what was strange was before you got the text, we were wondering why the parade wasn't moving at first. We were looking at the same float for about 6 to 7 minutes. Yeah. And we were trying to figure it out, like, why aren't they moving? But that explained it.
And I'm thinking, how possibly could this happen? And it was the same kind of deal as the first one. But then right when the second one happened, our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTaxta Cantrell, again, she's got to be the only mayor of an American city who has not paid her federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. And the only year she did pay was the year she was running for mayor because she knew she had to. And that's all I can think about now every time I see her. Why do I have to pay my bleep and bleep taxes and she doesn't? And she's the mayor telling me what to do in the city I live in? Really, sister? Really? Well, she showed up at the death, the second death of Mardi Gras 2020, and she laid down the law.
Good evening, but absolutely not a good evening. We have another fatality during a parade involving a float.
Pay your taxes!
We have canceled the remainder of the Endymion parade for this evening. Moving forward throughout the Mardi Gras season 2020, we're also eliminating the use of tandem floats moving forward.
She's eliminating tandem floats just like she eliminated personal income tax, paying it. That's what she's doing. Of course she overreacted. She's so far over her head as with this job that she has. You don't need to ban the tandem floats. And what she did by doing that is she made the other parades now have to scramble. I know Bacchus yesterday, Orpheus, other big parades now have to scramble to unhitch their floats, and they have to find extra tractors and they have to find extra tractor drivers to pull their floats the last couple of days of Mardi Gras here. She didn't need to do that. She could have said one of two things. She could have either said, look, don't be where you're not supposed to be and don't do what you're not supposed to do. Unfortunately, it sucks that those two 58-year-olds died, but they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. They were someplace they were not supposed to be. Or she could have said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure if the floats are tandem floats that we will put up a little fencing around the hitch so people won't trip over the hitch that connects the floats. They could have done that. She could have done that. But no, she decided to lay down the law and she decided to ban tandem floats. This is why I have always looked at government funny, because they feel in their minds they have to do something. Even though these two deaths, I mean, this hardly ever, ever, ever happens. I mean, it never happens. And so, she ended up doing that. And I can't think of anybody that can agree with what she did. I would like to hear from someone that agrees with what the tax sheet of a mayor said. And then yesterday during the Toth parade, two Toth riders fell off their floats. Now look, they're both going to be okay. And yesterday I was at the Toth parade and I got me some beads. I caught some beads. I caught some cups and I caught a man. People, riders falling off floats happens fairly often. It happens more often than people get run over by floats. We've seen riders fall off floats before. But again, that's their fault. It's not the float's fault. Tandem floats aren't killer floats. There was one headline on the news on Saturday night on one of the local news channels, Coleman. It said, float kills man. No, the float didn't kill the man. Unfortunately, the man and his behavior was killed by the float. But now they're making it look like, well, we've got killer floats on the streets of Mardi Gras. No, it's not like that. And no, we don't need more barricades. I'm a big proponent and a big fan of personal responsibility. And look, yeah, half the people out there watching Mardi Gras are drunk out of their skulls. We can't control all of that. Have you seen pictures of Mardi Gras from the turn of the last century? You know, people are wondering, has Mardi Gras gotten too big? Have you seen pictures? I just saw a picture from Mardi Gras in 1908. You can't even see Canal Street. You can't see the street for like a mile because there are just people everywhere. So the parades haven't gotten too big. Some people just can't control themselves.
Let's hear from some of the texts, John.
Go ahead, Coleman.
So Tom J says, one word, sadly, liability. I'm assuming people are liable for their own actions.
So we're going to see television commercials now for personal injury attorneys. Hi, were you killed or do you just know someone who was killed during a Mardi Gras parade by a Mardi Gras float? Call me now.
I don't agree with the mayor either. She is ridiculous for doing what she can. She needs to go back to where she come from and leave New Orleans alone.
California.
Not even New Orleans police like her. Did they test these individuals' blood alcohol? It's their own damn fault they lost their lives jumping those hitches. Now, Jamie says you might disagree with her. She says they can barricade the whole parade route and charge each crew extra for the barricades. Now, see, I'm not sure if I feel that way.
How long is it from Napoleon and Chapatulas, how long is it? Because that's where they start. That's where all the uptown parades start, on that corner. And they come down Napoleon, then they take a right on St. Charles, then they come all the way down. We're just talking 7 miles?
I don't even think they have enough barricades to accommodate that if they did decide to do something like that.
Well, you can't barricade the entire route either. You can't do it that way either.
This text says, my tandem float self-identifies as a single float.
Well.
Longshoreman says, I know you're never 100% safe at a large event. My thoughts and prayers are to those two victims' families, but has anyone ever been run over this year by standing on the right side of a barricade?
Good point, sir. And look, I know it sucks, and we feel bad for the two people who lost their lives. They were run over by a Mardi Gras float. It must be something when you get to the pearly gates. How did you get here? You were what? What happened? You were run over by a Mardi Gras float?
Yeah, it sounds worse than being running, getting hit by a bull at the running of the Bulls. You know, that's more street cred.
Yeah, and I feel bad for their families. It sucks. I heard they were both great people, and that's awful. But how much also does it suck for all of the riders in the floats that were behind the floats that ran over the people, whether it was in Knicks or whether it was in Endymion? Their parades ended right then and there. And you know how much it costs to ride in that? And
around
that
$2,000.
They plan all year, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's over.
Golf War Vet says, good morning, happy Lundi Gras. Why are people being stupid and retarded? It's safety first. Beads are not worth dying for.
Texter, you can't say that word anymore.
Oh, the R word.
You can't say the R word.
All right. I think Anthony agrees with our mayor. He says, taxation is theft. So that's probably why she hasn't been paying her taxes, because she feels like it's theft.
Yeah. She's the only sitting mayor of an American city or town that has not paid her federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. Again, the only year she paid it is the year she ran for mayor, because she knew she had to. And I think those two dead bodies on Canal Street and the rubble of the Hard Rock Hotel that's collapsed, that have been there for over 4 months. Yeah. I think there's something to do with those two dead bodies in 2020 Mardi Gras. Call it Gree-Gree, call it voodoo, call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, JB, Grant from Slidell, and Lewis, I saw your text, but we're running out of time, so I couldn't read them, but they're still great texts anyway.
We got a happy story coming up next. It's this is New Orleans live and local morning radio show. It's the John Osterlin Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So when the old actor, the 103-year-old actor Kirk Douglas died last week, come to find out now they're going through his finances, he was worth anywhere from $61 to $81 million. I've seen reports on both of those ends. And the majority of that money he donated to charity, and it's making headlines. They're saying he left his son Michael out of his will. You know, he stiffed Michael. Well, Michael's probably worth more than he is, so I don't know why that's a big deal. And I'm sure the other children that weren't that loaded, he probably took care of them and the grandchildren and the great grandchildren. But the majority of that money he left for a few different charities. Pretty cool. Oh, Spartacus, man, I am Spartacus.
I never understood why people are so concerned with other people doing with their money. You know, y'all. Every time somebody with big money does something that they want with it. Oh, he could have built homeless shelters. He could have donated to this. He could have donated to that. Or he could have left this for that. So if he'd have gave his money to Michael, it'd have been, oh, he left all his money to Michael. He could have donated to charity. Yeah. Michael's rich. Yeah. But now that he didn't leave anything, oh, Michael got stiff. Like, no matter what he does with his money, somebody has something to say.
It's a good point, Coleman. It's nobody else's business either. But it just made news, so I just thought I'd let you know. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans, live and local morning radio show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning and happy Lundi Gras. John Osterlin here with you. We have a couple of more days, 2 more days and nights of Mardi Gras fun. And hopefully we can get through these next 2 days without anybody else dying. But I was just looking at how the rest of the nation, the rest of the United States, looks at Mardi Gras. And I was on the website foxnews.com, and they have a story, Mardi Gras in New Orleans, 10 do's and don'ts for tourists looking to celebrate like a local. All right?
Okay. Now, this is from Fox News?
Yeah.
Already skeptical.
Why are you skeptical?
Because they're for tourists to celebrate like a local. Is this story written by a local, or is it written by a tourist that's trying to celebrate like a local?
It was written by someone named Michael Bartiromo.
Doesn't sound like a New Orleans native.
But anyways, it was on the nationally known website, foxnews.com. So here it is. Here's the do's. This is what they say to do during Mardi Gras. Do catch a special throw. Duh. You're on the Mardi Gras parade. People are throwing stuff at you. You can either call it catching it or self-defense. But yeah, of course you're supposed to do that. It says, do eat some king cake. All right. Absolutely. Do wear a costume.
All right. Optional, but yeah, sure.
Do tip performers. And they say the people playing music on the streets and such tip them. And then it says, do stake out a public restroom. Okay, so the guy kind of knew what he was talking about there. Okay, now here's the don'ts. Coleman, you're not going to like this first don't.
Oh, boy. What we got?
Don't flash for beads.
Bitch, please.
What?
Don't flash. He says do not flash for beads.
It says it's the first don't. This is what this guy is telling the rest of America, the rest of the world, if you're coming to New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
What's this dude's problem?
He says, if movies and TV shows have taught us anything, it's that Mardi Gras revelers often flash the crews in exchange for beads. But contrary to popular belief, public nudity is a strict no-no throughout the city.
No, I completely disagree. Huh? I completely disagree. Please flash your boobs for beads. Flash your boobs for doubloons. Just flash them for the hell of it. You don't even need a reward or a throw. Just flash. It's Mardi Gras. Live a little.
Well, you were born and raised on the West Bank, and you've never been to a Mardi Gras parade.
No, I've been to a few. When I got to a certain age, I just said, once I turned 21, I didn't do Zulu Rex, none of that. I went straight to Bourbon Street.
You just go on Mardi Gras day to Bourbon Street for one reason and one reason only, and that's boobs.
Exactly.
And the person that this guy is talking to, the person that is from here, his name is Christian Sonnier, the vice president of communications for NewOrleans.com.
And he's the one telling people not to flash boobs?
That's what he said. Christian with hang on, K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Is that male or female?
Does it matter at this point?
Christian Sonnier. That's the person, the vice president of communications for NewOrleans.com. That's who this guy from Fox News was interviewing.
Okay.
So look, it looks like he got the first part, the do's right, but the first don't flash for beads. The next don't overindulge.
What?
I think most people overindulge.
Do they know what Mardi Gras actually is?
That's what, again, this is the person from NewOrleans.com telling this reporter this.
But the premise is you're supposed to celebrate like a local, right? It's a guide for tourists to celebrate like a local.
So you should overindulge.
Yes.
Because locals overindulge.
It's
many,
a Tuesday.
Many of them do.
You're off work. You don't have to go to work for Ash Wednesday. Dude. Oh, man. I don't want to.
Hey, there are a bunch of locals that don't overindulge, and there are a bunch of locals that do overindulge. This is the one time of the year where they overindulge the most.
Yes. So if you want to celebrate like a local, flash your boobs and overindulge.
Okay, so far the don'ts.
Just be safe.
So far the don'ts. Don't flash for beads and don't overindulge. Don't pet a police horse.
Okay, I could agree with that one.
Unless the officer says it's okay. But yeah,
no, don't even interact with the horses. See, here's the deal. Those horses are actually police officers. So if you do anything weird to them, whether you pet them or not, if the horse takes it the wrong way, you can be arrested for assaulting a police officer. What I do is I stay away from the horses. First of all, they smell bad. They leave a trail of dookie. So when I see the horse, I just go to the other side of the street. Don't even.
If police dogs are canines,
mm-hmm.
Police horses are K-10s.
No, I think they're like 9Bs or something like
that.
You
know what they are? Another don't. Don't drink from a glass container.
I could agree with that one.
Because maybe part of it could have chipped and been in the glass. Don't stake your claim on a parade route too early.
You seen what happened last week when everybody was marking out the parade spots?
Yeah, the city, they can go up and down the street with pickup trucks and garbage trucks, and they just pick up the ladders and they throw them in the back. They pick up the tarps and they throw them in the back. They pick up all of the yeah, you're not supposed to mark out your space on the neutral ground too early. We've seen that a lot. And those were the do's and don'ts for tourists. And again, that came from someone named Christian Sonnier.
I give an 8 out of 10.
Who works for NewOrleans.com.
I give an 8 out of 10. Two of those I vehemently disagree with.
Coming up next on the show, there was a heavyweight championship of the world fight this past Saturday night. I remember when I was a kid, the big boxing matches like that used to be huge. They're not as big, but this was a big one this past Saturday night. Did you see what happened? Did you see any of that? We'll reminisce about it quickly coming up next. And we've got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Wait to hear this one. Stay tuned for those reports here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So this past Saturday night, there was a heavyweight championship of the world boxing match in Las Vegas. Did you watch that? I remember, I'm a boxing fan. I mean, I'm a big sports fan, like most sports. And I remember being a kid, and I've said this before on the show, boxing doesn't seem as good now as it did when I was a kid. You know, boxing now doesn't seem like it was as good as when right here in the New Orleans Superdome, Roberto Duran said to Sugar Ray Leonard, "No mas, I'm done." Boxing today doesn't seem to be as good as when I watched that Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns fight. Marvelous Marvin Hagler against Tommy Hitman Hearns. Oh my God. One of the greatest fights I've ever seen. I think that's still to this day the greatest fight I've ever seen in my life. There were so many great fights. Even when I was a little kid, the heavyweight division. You know, when I was a little kid, there was Muhammad Ali. He was at the end, though. But there were good fights with big names who fought. You know, now you don't see that very often.
It's oversaturation. There's so many different divisions. There's so many different promotions. There's so many different boxes. It's hard to keep up with.
That's part of the reason, Coleman. You're right. Another part of the reason is the UFC, yep. The mixed martial arts, the Ultimate Fighting Challenge. That has taken away from some of the luster of boxing. But there's still, to me, I mean, just the technique of it, there's something to be said about a boxing match. And there was a time in our country's history where boxing and horse racing were the most popular sports in the United States. I mean, not anymore. By a long shot, obviously, football and basketball are the most popular sports here in the United States. But this past Saturday night, there was a heavyweight championship of the world battle between a white guy from England named Tyson Fury and a black guy from Alabama named Deontay Wilder. This is the second time that they fought. The first time they fought, even though Fury beat him, they called it a draw. So Wilder was still undefeated going into this past Saturday night's fight in Las Vegas. And I was going to buy the fight, but it was Endymion Saturday here in New Orleans, and I was already in the bag. We were having a good time, and then the second person got run over by the Mardi Gras float. But I didn't know if I was going to be home in time to watch the fight if I bought it, because I'm out having a good time on Mardi Gras weekend and Demian Saturday night. So I didn't buy the fight because I didn't know if I was going to be, well, either home or sober enough to enjoy it. And I could have bought it and recorded it. And I almost did that, but I wanted to be focused on what I was doing. Well, as it happened, the white guy from England, Tyson Fury, knocked out the black guy from Alabama, Deontay Wilder, in the seventh round. And he beat
it was a technical knockout.
Yeah, TKO. Yeah. He was beating him pretty good.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. And like just the way he squared up before the fight, I just figured, oh, Fury's going to take this. Because just his demeanor, his body language is like, I'm about to destroy this bronze bomber, dude.
One of my black friends on Facebook, Coleman, said that, geez, thanks, Deontay Wilder. You let us all down. As a black guy, do you feel that way?
No. Like, dude, the people that think that way kill me. Like, just because one guy is black and one guy is white doesn't necessarily mean this black guy represents the entire black community. He's just one individual. Dude, I hate when people think like that. I'm supposed to automatically root for Deontay Wilder because we set the same skin tone. Like, it doesn't work like that. This guy's an individual. Tyson Fury is an individual. Like, they don't represent their collective country, I mean, you know the race and nationality. They're just people.
How about the white guy? Is the guy named Tyson? The white guy from England, Tyson Fury.
He has long reach, though, too. His arm reach is massive.
And if you know anything about him, he suffers from depression. He battles depression on a daily basis. He started fighting. He was doing well, and then he stopped. And he got out of shape. He gained weight. He got to over 400 pounds. And then they said, come on, pal. Take your meds. Right. You can get back into shape and you can be the heavyweight champion in the world. And he did. And he's from England. And he ended up beating the dude from the bronze bomber from Alabama.
Because while Tyson was fighting depression, Deontay Wilder was fighting gravity. It seemed like gravity kept taking him down almost every single round that they had. Boop, boop, ground, boop, boop, ground.
He's really tall, too. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder.
I think Tyson Fury has an inch over him, too. Like two.
Yeah,
or three.
Tyson Fury's really tall, too. Yeah, he's real tall as well. So, but that was the biggest heavyweight championship boxing prize fight that we've had in a while. I wish you could go back to when I was a kid to be having so many bigger names this day and age like they had back when I was a kid, and so many in all the different weight classes. It just seemed like there were so many more bigger names. They were all on TV most of the time. It just seemed like boxing was so much bigger.
That's a different era. Tyson Fury, I think he had a $9 million purse, and he donated it all. Like his entire winnings from that fight, he donated it to help the homeless, I believe it was.
How cool is that?
Yeah. He didn't even keep the money.
So now they're expecting an announcement. When is Fury Wilder 3 going to come? Because technically, Tyson Fury beat him twice, even though they said the first one was a draw. And then Tyson Fury beat him again this past Saturday night, and he actually got the win for the technical knockout in the 7th round. Great to see a big-time heavyweight prize fight again. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this is a doozy here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And since it's 8:35, it's time for us to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Flat earther dies in rocket explosion trying to prove Earth is flat. Again, that's why we call this segment the dumbest thing I read all morning. I actually read this yesterday morning. This guy named Mad Mike Hughes.
You idiot.
He's been in the Guinness Book of World Records. He successfully jumped a Lincoln Town Car stretch limousine 103 feet at the Purris Auto Speedway in Riverside County, California. He did that in 2002.
Okay.
So that stunt got him in the Guinness Book of World Records. So he's done stuff before, but he's also a flat earther. He believes, like some out there, that the Earth is not round, that it's flat. And I always thought, if the Earth was flat, wouldn't you be able to prove it by falling off of it?
Yeah, that would stand to reason.
Well, I guess that's what this guy was trying to do with his rocket ship over the weekend. Is Mad Mike Hughes. Again, here's a guy who most of his life, he's jumped things and he's been a daredevil, a stuntman, that kind of stuff. But he's always been, I guess, a flat earther. But the 64-year-old Hughes met his end 2 days ago on Saturday when he was killed during the launch of a homemade rocket gone crazy.
Gone boom?
Gone awry.
See, here's the flaw in his thinking. If you're trying to prove that the Earth is flat, you don't take a rocket ship and go vertical. You get into a helicopter and you go sideways until you get to where you think the edge is. So you're not going to, that's not the proper way to prove that the Earth is, you don't go up.
It's a good point, Coleman. You're not even a flat earther.
No, I'm not. But if I'm going to prove that the Earth is flat, I'm going to take a helicopter and just keep going in one direction until I get to the edge.
By the way, his demise is on videotape. They videotaped this. I am not putting this man dying on our website. But it's not clear exactly what went wrong. But dramatic video footage of the botched stunt posted on social media appears to indicate that there was a problem with his parachute. And again, I don't like putting things on the website where people die. But he was trying to prove that the Earth was not round, that it was flat. Quote, like any daredevil, I think they're driven by a sense of that need to do something incredible, but also to risk their life, said the director of a 2019 documentary about this guy. His name's Tony Brusseau. That Rocket Man documentary that came out last year is about Mad Mike Hughes.
So how long before the flat earthers say that this accident was a government conspiracy to conceal the fact that the earth is actually flat? Because he was coming, he came this close to proving that it was flat, so the government had to swoop in and sabotage his little rocket ship.
That's a good question. I wonder how many anti-vaxxers are flat earthers.
That seemed to go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, like I wonder, this morning there's a lot of people in the anti-vaccination movement who are mourning the death of the flat earther, Mad Mike Hughes.
Well, I know there's a Holocaust denier that worked in the production lab where they staged the moon landing. He might have some insight into that.
Yeah, who are these Holocaust deniers too? Are they friends with the flat earthers and the anti-vaxxers? Do they all? And we never walked on the moon, people. It was all done on a back lot, a soundstage somewhere out in Hollywood, California.
They all run in the same circles. Well, I can't say circles. They all run in the same flats.
Yeah. Stay away from circles when you talk about those folks. So anyways, flat earther, the rocket man, Mad Mike Hughes, dying in his homemade rocket trying to prove that the earth isn't round. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I've got a happy story here. A story of hope. A good story. Because all you seem to hear about in the news is death and destruction. And people dying in Mardi Gras parades. Listen to this story. Hikers lost in California forest for a week. Found alive. And these hikers, both in their 70s. Could you imagine being in your 70s, you're hiking, and you get lost for a week in the woods? What are the odds?
It seems like they did it on purpose. They got lost for a week, quote unquote. They probably wanted to get away from it all.
Let me tell you something. The odds are much greater you die in that situation than dying by getting run over by a Mardi Gras float going 1 mile an hour.
True that.
A California couple is expected to be released from the hospital following an amazing rescue. The pair, both in their 70s, went missing after going hiking in dense California forest back on Valentine's Day. Authorities believe the couple's chances of survival were so slim that they treated the search as a recovery mission. Because usually when people go missing, at first it's a search, but then after a while, okay. We're going to call this a recovery mission now. Carol Kaparski and Ian Irwin.
Great young man.
One man, one woman. Both suffered from hypothermia, but were able to stay alive. Can you imagine that? In their 70s, lost in dense, thick forest for a week, and they survived.
That's them cuddles, man. They got together, they started cuddling, and they kept themselves warm.
I guess the son, Jonas Irwin, spoke to the media. He said, quote, "This is the best possible ending. My parents are shocked a little bit, and that's minimalizing it." Authorities say that the woman lost her shoes and neither had eaten in more than a week.
Wow.
And they survived. And the man was in great spirits. He was singing as rescuers approached him. They didn't say what song he was singing. Maybe I Am Iron Man by Black Sabbath. Or maybe War Pigs by Black Sabbath. Who knows? There were 500 people involved in this massive search. Helicopters and canine units. They had the pups, the dogs.
Okay, I understand that they haven't eaten. I understand that they were suffering from hypothermia. But a part of me feels that they were upset that they got found. I think they went into the woods for a reason, like for Valentine's Day. They just wanted to get away from it all. I mean, they're up in age. Because when you go hiking like that, you bring like a GPS locator or something like that. You bring.
So you think they walked into the woods like the dude walked into the woods at the like the dude walked into the ocean at the end of A Star Is Born?
Something like that, yes. Very similar. They just wanted to get away for a little while.
By the way, I haven't seen the latest Star Is Born yet with Lady Gaga. I've watched the older ones. It's a pretty good movie. Anyways, this is a story of hope. This is a happy story. You know, we've seen people, more people get seriously injured by getting hit in the head with coconuts thrown from the Zulu floats in the Zulu parade.
But here's the moral of the story, John. You need to find yourself a woman.
Well, that I know.
I'm quite sure these guys wouldn't survive if they went separately. But what kept them alive is their love for each other, their undying support, and their cuddles and their snuggles that kept them warm to beat the hypothermia.
Oh, so you all of a sudden you're getting lost in the wilderness expert.
Yeah.
All right, Coleman, I got you. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. What a great story that was. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The other night on CNN, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said President Trump was not acquitted from impeachment. In a related story, doctors are now saying too much Botox can make you delusional. Our commercial free ride continues here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Earlier in the show, we told you that in Tennessee, convicted killer Nicholas Sutton was executed in their electric chair. He went old school, because usually when they kill people now, when they execute people, they give you the two needles in the arms. But I guess he said, none of that crap for me. Where's the chair? And so they just did that the other night. Tennessee's electric chair is also known as Shaka Khan. Prosecutors say there will be no additional charges. Witnesses were appalled. Sutton was shocked. And witnesses said Sutton was positive and full of energy. The commercial free ride continues on the John Osterland Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Well, thanks for listening to our show. That's just about going to do it this morning. Happy Lundi Gras. Have a very happy Mardi Gras day tomorrow, and let's all cross our fingers and hope we can make it through these next couple of days, these last couple of days of Mardi Gras season 2020, with no more deaths. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.